All right, so this is the second to last topic, and I just want to talk about abortion. I'm sure with a lot of these topics, you kind of already know where I'm going before I even go there, but let me just show you some biblical principles about what that thing is inside of a woman, okay? That ultimately, regardless of all the stuff that people debate about, that's the only point that really matters when it comes to abortion, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, okay, is what is that thing? Is it a human baby? Or is it just something else? Is it a clump of cells? What is it? Because here's the thing, right? If it's a clump of cells, then nobody should care what a woman does with her own body, right? That's perfectly understandable. If it's just a growth on the woman's body, then it should be the woman's choice. On the other hand, if it is a child, if it's a separate child and a separate human living inside of a woman, then that child should be considered the same way that any other child would be considered inside or outside the womb. It really always comes down to that point. That's the only point really worth even talking about when it comes to abortion, because again, if it's a clump of cells, then you're just aborting a clump of cells. You're stopping it before it even becomes a baby. If it is already a baby, then unfortunately, again, I regret to inform you, but you're killing a child. Okay. Now, again, we're going to go over that just in a second. There is forgiveness for that. There is, you know, Jesus has already paid for that. God is not angry at anybody, whether you're saved or you're unsaved. God is not angry at you because he has already judged Jesus for all of our sin, and all of us have sinned, not just certain people. Every single one of us have sinned. We were all bound to the same stuff through Adam. And so there is a reconciliation that God has made with us through Jesus, and he is not counting our trespasses against us. So that is all a thing. But let me just say, if it is a child, then obviously you're killing a child, and it's not really abortion. Abortion is more of a euphemism, really, when it comes down to it. It's really just murder if it is, in fact, a child. So we have to see from the Bible whether it's a child or not. And here's the thing. Biblically, when referring to that thing inside of a mother's womb, God refers to that as a child. There's not a point where God will refer to that and say, well, it's a clump of cells, or that's just the woman's body, or something like that. God refers to it as a child. I'll give you just a couple examples, but this is all throughout the Bible that you can see it. If you see somebody pregnant in the Bible, apart from just saying that they are pregnant, because sometimes it'll just say, and she was with child, which sometimes in the King James Version, that just means pregnant. But the Bible will either say she's pregnant, but when it refers to that thing inside the mother's womb, the Bible refers to that as a child. Luke 1:44, this is actually when John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. And it says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears," because Mary, the mother of Jesus, had greeted Elizabeth while Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And it says, "And the babe leaped in my womb for joy." That may seem like such a light thing to say. Okay, yeah, there's nothing special about that verse, but it says the baby leaped in her womb. And it's unfortunate that we even have to go over this today, but the way that our culture is, we do, it is a baby. It was a baby that leaped in her womb. And actually, in fact, that was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit caused John the Baptist to leap inside of Elizabeth's womb. And again, that wasn't just a clump of cells. It says it was a baby that leaped in her womb. Another example in Judges 13:7, this is regarding Samson. It says, "But he said unto me," referring to an angel that had come unto Samson's parents, and the angel had said, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child," and that word literally means boy, "for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." So it referred to the child that was in her womb, and it says, "For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." God refers to that thing in a mother's womb as being a child or being a boy. If God didn't see that person inside the mother's womb as anything different than a child outside the womb. This is why God actually even used John the Baptist while he was still in the womb. For the Holy Spirit to use John the Baptist while he was still inside the womb, I mean, the Holy Spirit, to say the Holy Spirit was using just a clump of cells, I don't think is fair to that verse, considering the fact that the verse says it was a baby. A baby was what leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And it was a baby, it was a boy that was actually made and set apart to God as a Nazarite while he was still in the womb. God doesn't set people apart that, you know, God doesn't set clumps of cells apart unto himself as Nazarites, even in the Old Testament, but this was a boy. It was an actual person that was inside of his mother's womb, and God had separated him from his mother's womb and called him a child, a boy. That's how God defines that thing in a mother's womb. And so, again, it all just comes down to that discussion. Is it a child or is it a clump of cells? If it's a clump of cells, I would absolutely agree with you that it's just a woman's choice. She can do whatever she wants with her body, obviously. It's like, you know, people do silly things all the time with their body. They do stuff I wouldn't recommend that they do with their body, but it's their right to do it if it's their body, and that's fine. But the Bible says that that's a child. Once, and if we're taking our morality and our political views from God, if we're taking truth from God, then you have to understand God doesn't see that as a clump of cells. God sees that as a child. And if you say, well, at what point does it become a child? To be honest, the Bible gives no evidence that any time after a child is conceived, that it's not a child. There's not a point in which God says, oh, that thing in your womb, that's not actually a boy because you're not, you know, whatever, 6 months, 7 months pregnant or something like that. Again, even when reading about Samson, he didn't say from conception. He says, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. But then even after mentioning her conception, it says the child that's in your womb is going to be a Nazarite unto God. I don't see any other consistent point biblically to state than conception as far as when a child is actually a child. The Bible says that it takes a male and a female to be fruitful and to multiply. And so it takes a male and a female to make another human being. We all agree on that. It does take a male and a female to do that. And therefore, only after a male and female have been together can they make another human being. And at any point in time, while there is this thing inside that mother's womb, God calls that a child. So I believe it's biblically consistent to draw that line there and say at conception, that is a child. Again, a man and a woman are necessary to sleep together in order to have the child. And any point after that, God calls that thing in the womb a child. And so let's just go from here and bring in, you know, the political parties on this. I don't think I have to even tell you that if you're going to hear someone pro-life, that's going to almost exclusively be on the Republican side. And I hope you've heard my heart in everything that I've told you this. This may seem one-sided, and it certainly is, but I did not come up with these topics to somehow just make this one-sided. This is just a consistent thing throughout all the biblical principles that I thought were relevant to go over as far as things that I've read in the Bible before, and I've seen things as far as what is moral and what is not moral, what is correct for government and what is not correct for government, and genuinely, and I say this with compassion toward anyone that has ever voted differently in the past, but I have to tell you, though, that I have not found a single principle that the Democratic Party lines up better on than the Republican Party. This is not an advocacy for the Republican Party just in general, or to team up with them, or just call yourself a Republican and always vote Republican just because of the name Republican. But at the same time, even with this particular topic that we're talking about right now, abortion, I don't see that from the Democratic Party. That the Democratic Party is typically pro-choice. And if you say, well, that doesn't mean they're pro-abortion, they're just pro-choice. But again, from a government standpoint, you don't give people a choice to kill someone or not. And it's inconsistent anyway, because murder is already something that is illegal in all 50 states. You can't just kill somebody. And the fact that abortion, which is killing somebody according to the Bible, the fact that abortion is legal shows me that either one, people don't realize that it's actually a child because they're not paying attention to what the Bible has to say about what that thing is in a mother's womb, or they already know it and they just deny it because they want the convenience of abortion. You know, I know a lot of people will bring up rape and incest, too. And they'll say, well, you know, what about rape and incest? Should there be exceptions made in abortion for rape and incest? And here, let me just tell you a story. And again, you may think that I am, you know, maybe taking the story too far or something, but it is logically consistent if you agree from the biblical standpoint that that is a child inside a mother's womb. If a man breaks into a woman's house and rapes her, okay, and he brings his child, let's say he already had a child, he brings his child into the woman's house, sets the child in the living room in a basket, and rapes the woman and leaves. He leaves the child there in the living room. Does that woman have the right to kill that child because she was raped? Does that woman have the right to kill that child because that child is from my rapist, and he left him here, and I didn't want this child to begin with? or I don't have enough money to support this child, or I would end up being a single mother, or what. A slew of different things can come to mind. It's unfair that the woman was obviously raped to begin with, so which is a terrible crime to begin with, right? Which goes back to gun rights again, because, you know, if we had a well-armed populace, then you wouldn't have quite as much of that. But that's beside the point. It would be a terrible thing, a terrible crime in and of itself for the woman to be raped. It would also be a terrible crime for the woman to think that she has the right to kill that baby just simply because she was raped. Now, again, I know that you may not see the consistency in that and may think, well, that's different for this reason and that reason. But to be honest, from a biblical standpoint, killing that baby that was left in that woman's living room is the same thing as killing a baby that's inside a mother's womb, even because of rape. Here's what it comes down to, right? If a rapist rapes somebody, they should be punished for their crime. God judges every man according to his deeds, right? Every man according to his deeds. Well, guess what? In the case of a crime committed by a rapist, giving to every man according to his deeds would mean that you give to the rapist according to what his rape deserves. But the child on the inside of a woman is completely innocent. And I know that's an unpopular stance sometimes to take with people, especially when it comes to rape and incest. But you know what? There is adoption. Obviously, when it comes to just typical, you know, sex in general, that there is contraception and, you know, to begin with, so that you don't get pregnant. But when it comes to rape and incest specifically, there is no reason to punish and kill and terminate a human life because someone else committed a crime too. Is it unfair? Of course it's unfair. It's a terrible thing initially anyway for a woman to be raped, let alone, of course it's unfair that she has to carry the child, forced to be carried a child that she wasn't planning for. But it is a worse crime to kill a human life, an innocent. That's really the clincher there, right, is the word innocent. It is a worse crime to kill an innocent human life because someone else committed a crime against you. That is not giving to every man according to his deeds. That's you giving the baby according to the deeds of another person. And that is not fair. It's not fair to the baby. It may not be fair to the woman. I understand that completely. But it is more unfair to kill another person for someone else's crime. And not that it's even relevant to the principles that we've been laying out, but I have read that it is 1% of women that actually get an abortion because of rape, and even less than that, like 0.5%, do so because of incest. And so again, but that, to be honest, is even beside the point, because ultimately you never punish somebody else for another person's crime. And so, yes, even in the case of rape and incest, the Bible would never have you give to one person according to another person's deeds. Now, here's the one of the last points I'll make with this, and that is, in the case of the mother's life being threatened, is an abortion okay? Well, the thing is, we're trying to save life, right? Jesus even said when he came, he said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but I came to save them. So, of course, if it's threatening someone else's life, even unintentionally, then an abortion would be perfectly acceptable if the mother chose. Even in a case like that, I think that it's right to let the mother choose whether she wants to risk it or not. But whether intentionally or unintentionally, if one person is threatening the life of another person, then of course it sometimes is necessary to terminate that other person to save another person's life. Again, this would go even for fully grown adults. If there's a person that is even unintentionally threatening the life of someone else and they are terminated because of that risk, in that case, you're doing it because you're trying to save a life. And when you have to choose between the life of this particular person or the life of someone who is threatening that other person, you know what? Sometimes you do have to, unfortunately, terminate the life of someone that's threatening someone else, even unintentionally. And if the baby being born or whatever it is, and I have heard, and I can't say that I know this for a fact, but I have heard that this is rare next to completely non-existent to actually have a baby threaten the life of a mother. But regardless of any of that, in a case where the mother's life was in jeopardy, it would be acceptable to have an abortion, and it would be acceptable to kill the baby, even though we still believe that it's a baby. But it would be acceptable in that case, because if the baby is threatening somebody else, even unintentionally, then it would become acceptable because we are trying to save life. And you're just having to choose at that point. As I said, it should be probably just given, the choice should be given to the mother anyway, whether she wants to risk it or not. But nevertheless, that is the only exception that I could even see biblically, even remotely acceptable from the things that God lays out in the Bible. And you know, as I said before, there is forgiveness from the Lord. The Lord has already died for our sins, and great news as well. If you're even someone that has had an abortion in the past, you know, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That applies as much to your baby as it applied to Lazarus, as it applied to the woman's son in Elijah's case, as much as it applies to anybody. Jesus died for your baby as much as he died for anybody. And so there needs to be no concern and no worry that that somehow can't happen for your baby. Again, we can get into all the specifics about resurrection and, you know, yeah, but if the baby was aborted and how is the Lord actually going to pull that one off because, you know, of the way that abortions happen and all of that. Listen, let me just tell you this, okay? Every single believer, when Jesus comes back, is going to be raised up, resurrected to life in a perfect, glorified body. No matter how long they have been dead for, it doesn't matter how long, right? It doesn't matter what condition their body is in, they can be raised because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This is the same person that made a man in the beginning out of dust. So I think he can pull off a resurrection no matter how someone died, doesn't matter, okay? All of that are details that you don't even have to worry about. Jesus understands that. All you need to know is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus came and died for your baby. He came and died for you. He values you. He values your baby. Even if you got an abortion years ago, resurrection is applicable to you and to your baby because Jesus paid for it already. Okay, so there's good news. We've got plenty of material online to teach you more about that, but that applies in the case of an abortion just as much as anywhere else, okay? So it's good news to everybody. No matter our works, no matter what you've done, you do not receive from God by your works. You receive through Jesus Christ and his work at the cross. He's paid for all of our sin, and he has made a way for all of us to live, and that includes your baby as well. So that is excellent news for everybody, but I do, because this is a political kind of teaching here, I do just want to make it perfectly clear that abortion is, in fact, killing a child, and there is the Democratic Party right now that is pro-choice, which means they are for giving people the option to kill a child, an innocent child. That's what's going on right now, okay? This particular issue right now, that we're talking about right now, is probably just amongst the biggest, if not the biggest, thing that we have talked about this entire time. And if it were for this policy difference alone between Republicans that are typically pro-life, meaning against abortion, and Democrats that are typically pro-choice, if it was just this policy alone, this should be enough to tip the scales for you and change the way that you vote.